Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, what's up? It's Keith. Long time no speak. Here's the deal. We had a big Super Bowl post-game show, and the game went late. Maybe you saw it. Went to overtime, went late. We didn't really have time to do two episodes, which we normally do, Sunday nights, bang, bang, back to back, and then release them separate. So we did one, and if you're listening to this and you missed that one, go back and check it out in the archives. It is Super Bowl trailers, commercials, etc. So rather than not having two episodes this week, which is what we said we're going to do, we're a two-episode-a-week podcast now, I decided to reach into the vault, a dork classic, and one of my favorite episodes of all time, Don't Tell Davey. Actually, Tell Davey. One of my favorites ever. Back at the end of 2021, had a chance to interview Adam Cole Bebe, AEW star. We talked about, this is I think when he just jumped over to AEW or thereabouts. So we talk a lot about AEW, talk about his awesome matches in NXT, ask him about CM Punk, Kenny Omega, and of course video games. Because Adam Cole crushes it as the Chugs on Twitch. He's playing all kinds of games all the time. And it's a blast to go over there. He's got a good, somehow, an entirely positive community of online folks. Very similar to what we have here at Hashtag Dork. So, without further ado, here is one of the best episodes of all time. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to jump on at the end and give you a present day pick of the pod as well. But in the meantime, enjoy Adam Cole.
The Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian
Davey.
It's
the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag it's the Hashtag Dork Podcast. Thanks for tuning into this very special edition of the Hashtag Dork Podcast. My name is Rich Keefe. No Davey eyeballs today, but that is all right. He'll be back next week. Instead, I'm thrilled to introduce our guest right now. It's AEW's. It's Adam Cole, baby. Adam, thanks so much for the time, man. How are you?
Of course, man. I'm great. Hey, that intro was awesome, by the way. It was really cool. But yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Good, good. I want to start with the evolution of Bebe. And sure. I heard you on with Chris Jericho, so I'm going to try to not ask a lot of repeat questions. But you were on Jericho's podcast. You talked about how it's a little bit of Jericho saying Bebe. It was a little bit of Joey Matthews or Joey Mercury saying his name. But I'm curious, how long did it take for crowds to fully embrace it?
Minimum 5 years, I think. Wow. The funny thing is too, because I don't know if I talked about this, but when I first did Adam Cole Bebe, it was never intended to be like a catchphrase or like a thing that people said. It was, again, so I was a heel in a independent promotion called Combat Zone Wrestling, which is like this super violent deathmatch style wrestling. And I didn't do any of that. I was the straight laced, a regular wrestler. So I was trying to find different ways to get heat with that crowd. And again, aside from the Joey Matthews and Chris Jericho story, I used to just throw my fingers up in the air and yell Adam Cole Bebe. But like so many times during a match, like it would be like 10, 11, 12 times during a match and people would just boo. Cause it was just this arrogant heel tactic that I used. But what happened was, I was in Ring of Honor, and I ended up needing to take like 4 months off to get my shoulder, tricep, and elbow repaired. And when I came back, again, that beautiful thing about pro wrestling, if you're gone for a little bit, right. Not too long, but just for a little bit, they actually have a chance to miss you. So when I came back, the fans were really excited, and they knew that I did Adam Cole, baby. So they started doing it then. And then, again, for some reason, it has just completely caught on, and now it's like what I'm known for in a lot of ways.
It really is incredible. And I find myself just at home watching it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be a big baby tonight. I wonder if it's gonna be a big baby tonight. And the crowd goes crazy. And it could be somebody who's rooting for Jungle Boy or the Dark Order, and they're still like just caught up in the moment. It's sort of like, you know, Bryan Danielson with Yes, or just, there's a bunch of them like that. That is incredible. Is there one that stands out to you as the loudest one that you heard?
I mean, I would say probably All Out is probably the loudest one. And I don't know if it's because my senses were super heightened at that point because of the surprise aspect of it, but like the genuine reaction and excitement and then getting into the ring and doing it in Chicago, that one felt the loudest. But again, like I feel like every single week, every town we go to with AEW, it gets louder and louder and louder. So like Arthur Ashe Stadium was unreal. Yeah. That one was really, really loud. But yeah, I would think to me, the absolute loudest one was probably All Out in Chicago.
Yeah, that would absolutely was loud. Now, I want to circle back to wrestling, but you are a massive gamer.
Big time, man.
That is why you are perfect for the hashtag Dork Podcast, because there's almost two categories. There's people who like video games, and there's people who play Dark Souls. And that is... That is where you come into play. That is
yes.
You. And I've been enjoying your stream, but I am curious, what was your video game? Like, what was your introduction? What were the first games and consoles that you remember playing that got you hooked into video games?
Yeah, man, I'm so excited to talk about this. So actually my first memory of my entire life, like not of gaming, not of wrestling, of being like my first ever memory as a human being, was I was 3 years old, and I remember I got up super early for some reason. And I remember as a kid, my dad then told me I was 3 years old, and I ran downstairs, and my dad was sitting in front of the TV playing Road Rash on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, and, great game
to this day, still a great game, but it was on the old like CRT television. So we thought it was a black bike, but really it was dark blue, because you couldn't really tell because of the colors. But he said, I just over and over again said, oh my God, Dad, you got the black bike. No way. No way. Because that was the best one.
Yeah.
So that's my very first memory of anything in my life. So I've been like a casual gamer in a lot of ways for my entire life. But we grew up with a Sega Genesis. And then after that, my dad traded that one in for a Super Nintendo. Then we ended up getting a PlayStation, Nintendo 64, all that fun stuff. But funny enough, I know this isn't necessarily what you asked, but I was so obsessed with wrestling from like 9 years old on that I still loved video games. But actually my younger brother, Brent, was the one who was how I am with wrestling is how he was with games.
Okay.
And I loved video games. Like I have some of my fondest memories of my childhood are with video games, but I didn't become a gamer until like 2015. It was like when I bought my first console and stuff. Again, like I casually played, and I like FF7 and RE2 and Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1, Mario 64, Ocarina of Time on N64, like so many classic games. But like when I became like passionate about video games was 2015. Actually, that was a tangent that had nothing to do with what you asked, but
I loved it.
I get excited talking about games, man.
Well, it's funny because I'm a little bit older than you. So for me, it was the original Nintendo. And I remember watching my dad beat the original Mario and being like, this is the most impressive feat I've ever seen.
Right?
I was like, this is amazing. And so I was hooked from then and then into the Sega and into all that other stuff.
But what's crazy though, and I want to say this quick though, is like the OG Mario still holds up to this day.
Isn't that crazy?
What a game!
Those games they didn't play. Like I'll play Mega Man 2 once a month. I'll pop in Mega Man 2 and play it, or Punch Out, or the original Nintendo games, which is it's really a testament to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there a game that you can, if you had to guess, the game you spent the most time playing?
Yes.
Is there one that jumps out?
So absolutely. And it's the game that is responsible for me being so passionate about games and buying my first console and all that stuff. A lot of people are surprised by this because I know diehard Halo fans aren't necessarily super favorable when it comes to this specific one, but Halo 5 is the game responsible for that for me. Because what happened was, I'll never forget it. Me, my brother, and a buddy of mine all lived together in a house, and he said, "Oh man, Halo 5 comes out today. I'm gonna go pick it up." And he went and picked it up and was playing it, and I was bored. I had nothing to do. I was like, "Hey, Brent, do you mind?" I said, "Can I play on your Xbox and play some Halo 5?" He goes, "Yeah, sure." I stayed up till 7 a.m. to beat the campaign, and then I said, "You know what? I think I'm gonna buy my first like with my own money."
Right.
You know, I'd been gifted. We had consoles our whole lives, but I was like, "I'm gonna buy an Xbox One." I bought the Halo 5 edition. I'm not kidding. It's maybe embarrassing to say, but I think I have over 900 hours into Halo 5. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe you. And it's one of those things.
So much time into that game.
Do you like when games keep track of how much time you've played? Because I don't think I need to know that I've spent 50 hours playing as Junkrat in Overwatch. Like, I don't like to keep track like that. I would rather just guess. Like, I know, like Tekken 3, I've spent a million hours, but I don't know the exact number. When I go and look at the Overwatch, I'm like, I've played each character days of my life. I've played.
Right. Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Yeah. Like part of you is like, "Oh, this is cool. You know, I that's how much I love this game." And then there's another part of you that's like, "Oh man,
that's
I got to get out more. What's going
Wow, there's a ton of really good wrestling games dating all the way back to the beginning and even to now. My personal favorite was WrestleMania 2000 for the N64.
Won't argue with you on that one.
Is that your favorite one?
What between that and No Mercy?
Okay, yeah, those seem to be the two answers that always come
which
back.
They're two incredibly similar games as well. But there is a part of me, again, there's certain aspects of, like, I do feel like No Mercy, like, honed in on what made WrestleMania 2000 so special and kind of perfected it. But that, like, initial playtime with WrestleMania 2000 was so legendary that it's like, "Oh, maybe that one deserves all the credit." But yeah, both of them are so. WCW versus NWO The World.
Great one,
really, really good.
Yeah.
All
right, a question from the chat. Who did you play with in WrestleMania 2000?
I was a Stone Cold Steve Austin guy. Okay. All day. Mm-hmm. All day. Oh, yeah. This is a random funny video game story. Is I remember when I bought, and this is no knock on this game, because WWE, I'm going to call it that, WWE Attitude on the PlayStation 1.
Okay.
I remember being so excited for it. And we got it, and we had our PS1 ready to go, and I picked Stone Cold, and I was so pumped. And when Stone Cold did his entrance, and he put his hands up like this, I cried.
I cried, dude.
Like, I was like, you couldn't even close the fist.
Not fist, just all the fingers up together.
That's not his entrance. Come on.
Ruined it. I know. But that's the thing. There's little things you'll latch onto. The devil's in the details. You know that.
Right.
So you stream. It's twitch.tv/thechugs.
That is correct.
What is the origin story behind the Chugs?
So, in the beginning, when I was trying to come up with a gamer tag, I was like, I want it to be fun or funny or goofy, because video games are fun. So there was no part of me that was going to be, not that there's anything wrong with this at all, but I was definitely not going to be the Terminator or something, you know, intimidating.
New Blaster 69.
Yeah, right. And I didn't want to be Adam Cole either, because I really do separate the two, even though, you know, I am Adam Cole and I am Chugs. I do like the idea of kind of keeping them separate, especially because the characters are, well, one's really me and then one's a character. Like, keeping those separate was important to me. But when it came to using Chugs, so really the origin story was, so, you know, if you have a buddy of yours who's like a really, really big dude, and then as a joke, everyone calls him Tiny.
Yes.
Is like an ironic type of thing. Yeah. That was how I got the nickname Chugs. Because some buddies of mine, know that I'm horrible at chugging anything.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Like, water, a sports drink, an adult beverage, it doesn't matter. Like, horrible at it. I'm the worst. That's so they're like, "Oh, our boy Chugs is going to try to do it. Here we go." So I was like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll go with that one." So that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. Well, and I know you stream with a bunch of guys on there too. You'll have the mixture. I tuned in just in time last week. I think you're playing Halo 3 to see Tyler Breeze teabagging your dead, lifeless body all around there, which I didn't think was necessary. But
absolutely,
I can't recommend the stream enough. Like,
right? What a friend, right?
Yeah,
my God. My God. While I'm gone, take a 4-minute bathroom break, and then my body's there 20 yes, times.
A million of them.
But I love it.
What I like a lot about it too is you don't play just the one game. And I know there are people that have a lot of success doing that, and that's great.
Yeah.
And there's a market for Call of Duty streams, and there's a market for Fortnite or whatever. But every time I've tuned in, I feel like you've been playing a different game, which is great.
Well, that I'm glad you said that, because it's so true. Like, of course, like some people are very successful with their streams, like in many different ways. But I never got into streaming for the sense of like, how can I make this as successful as possible, in the sense of trying to like grow as quickly as possible. To me, it started, and I tell my chat this all the time, who I've formed a like relationship with a lot of these people, is I'm just really passionate about games, and I like the idea of playing a game and then being able to turn over to chat and talk to them about said game. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always have so many different games within the cycle, because there's so many games I'm really passionate about. So not that I would never play one individual game over and over and over again, but I was all about like just playing a bunch of different stuff, like whether it be a game like The Last of Us or a horror game like Resident Evil 2 Remake or Final Fantasy 7 Remake or Halo or what have you. I'm all about just getting to play and experience a bunch of different stuff, because I do think pro wrestling and video games are my two favorite forms of entertainment for sure. So
does it help you a lot too to have like the two interests, and every once in a while they'll cross over, but to have them separate? Like for me personally, I do a sports talk radio show during the week, but then I also do this podcast where I talk about movies and TV and video games and comic books and stuff.
That's awesome.
And it's great to have like the two passions. I feel like it's got to be very similar for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Because you have a lot of people, especially early on, like initially with the Twitch stream, there were a lot of people who checked it out strictly because they knew me from wrestling.
Yeah.
But as time has gone on, it's been really cool. Like I would say 80% of the people know me from wrestling. But there's like a 20% crew that is like, wait, this guy's a wrestler? No way.
That's cool.
And that to me is almost more rewarding. Not that I don't appreciate the support on both platforms, whether it be wrestling and gaming, but it's really, really cool to kind of dive into that world as almost an unknown in a lot of ways. So yeah, for sure.
Well, it's going back to wrestling. I feel like wrestling and stand-up comedy in a way are similar, only in the point where you hear about these stories of guys who made it, and they were in the early stages of their career with other guys. So like, you would know a lot of early wrestlers that hadn't broken through yet, just like stand-up comics, like now all of these like Netflix specials and everything, but they also remember performing in front of 10 people with another guy later on. Is that a thought process that you have when you're in the independents early on in your career, that one day I'm going to make it to the big time? And are you having those conversations with the other guys back there?
Yeah. So early on, I was like obsessed with, I remember like my first year or two, I was like, yeah, my goal is someday to main event WrestleMania. And it was like, again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was just so far from where I was, that I realized pretty early on, it's better to set like smaller goals for myself and kind of enjoy the ride, because I do love pro wrestling. So again, like, the fact that I trained at Combat Zone Wrestling at CZW and then wrestled there, that was a really cool thing for me. So it was important for me to go, hey, this is really cool. I'm in this best of the best tournament, or I'm on the Cage of Death show, or getting to wrestle at Ring of Honor and wrestle on iPay-per-view for them, or going to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or wrestling in Japan. I'm like, I have to enjoy these steps of like where my eventual goal is. And then my goal kind of changed like as time had gone on. For me, like again, after like a year or two of understanding the different goals that I had, my first goal was just to be able to make a living as a wrestler. I remember that was really important, because I had a part-time job at a retirement home, I taught like kids swim lessons during the week.
Really?
And then I would wrestle on the weekends and travel. And that job was great because they were so understanding of my schedule. But Long story short, I tell other young wrestlers this anytime I do seminars or anything. It's so important to set smaller goals for yourself and not hyper-focus on this eventual big dream that you have, because so much of it is out of your control. Like you can only go in and go, hey, I'm going to have the best match I possibly can. I'm going to cut the best promo I possibly can and take that kind of day by day and enjoy the process and enjoy the journey. And the older I get, the more I'm understanding that. But yeah.
And it's going to be interesting when you talk to wrestling fans, because some of them probably know every single thing about your career. And so then cool. Others are like, oh, this is a new AEW wrestler.
Yeah.
Or he's new in NXT. They're like, oh, he has good chemistry with Kyle O'Reilly. I wonder why. But like, they right. don't realize that you guys have been wrestling with and against each other for years and years. But like, people pick your career up at all different times.
Exactly. Yeah. It literally happens all the time. Like you just said, I definitely have gained a bunch of new fans as of 6 weeks ago because of joining AEW. Like, I can't tell you how many people were like, yeah, I heard about this guy in NXT, but I've never seen him before. Oh, he's pretty good. Or, you know, yeah. what have you. So it is crazy how people kind of pick up on your career at different points. And then I'll do a signing somewhere and someone will go, hey, I watched you at Eastern Championship Wrestling in 2008 for your fourth match ever. And I've been a fan of yours ever since. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
So yeah,
it's crazy. And along the way, you've been in a lot of factions. How many factions have you been in?
Oh my God. I was in the Kingdom and Ring of Honor. I was in the Bullet Club, in ROH New Japan. I was in Undisputed Era, Mount Rushmore and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Obviously the Elite now. So yeah, quite a few.
I love factions though. And I think again, from our era, like I grew up on it. Like you needed the, DX and the NWO and the Hart Foundation. And like, I thought it created stars. I really am a big fan of it.
I do too. Yeah. I love it as well.
Now I don't know how to explain this, but for a number of years, NXT was definitely my just favorite brand in any wrestling. And your whole time there, the few years leading up to when you were there, I just thought the matches were the best. And talking with other wrestling buddies of mine, you know, there'd be the takeover and then there'd be whatever the WWE pay-per-view is the next night. And then on Monday, we're only talking about the NXT matches. Any idea why that is? I'm sure you guys were super competitive about it, but it's a weird thing to me because there'd be certain guys that 1 year would be fighting in the takeovers. And then the next year they're on the bigger card and the matches just weren't as good. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, I do think to some extent, I mean, there's so many factors to go into. Like number one, again, and I stand by this, but that roster was stacked. I mean, you had a lot of really, really talented dudes who were trying to make an impression and trying to show the world on the biggest stage they had ever had how good they were. So I think that created a really exciting atmosphere. Second of all, the live audience who was there, I've said this before, and I think it's a big reason AEW is so successful, is the people who buy a ticket to that show and show up, they want the show to be good. They go there with the intention of going, this show is going to rule. I can't wait to watch these matches. And it creates this like exciting atmosphere that not only creates this cool magic within the audience, but it does create a different feeling with the wrestlers as well. So then that's how the magic happens in a lot of ways. But I do think at the end of the day, in a lot of ways, the fans looked at NXT as like not the little engine that could, but like this new brand that was starting that they felt responsible for its growth, which I think is so important. I think the fact that the roster kept growing and they kept signing these indie darlings or independent stars in a lot of ways, they felt responsible for this massive growth of NXT becoming like a legit third brand for the company. And AEW has that same kind of passion in the sense of people feel like they are responsible for AEW's growth over these past 2 years. And they are like the fact that the fans are so amped, so jacked up, so ready to go and ready to enjoy these matches. It makes it really, really special. So
yeah, I think that's a good call on the fans. Yeah. I think they definitely added
fans are vital to it.
And like, you guys had the crazy matches, whether it's with the ladder matches or the War Games matches, and like you, like the stuff you guys were doing was just off the charts. I'm also curious, the series of matches you had with Johnny Gargano are some of the best in NXT history. Once you have the first match and then you're like, all right, we're going to do it again. What are those conversations like to try to one up what was already a 6-star match?
Man, it'd be so stressful. Specifically with a guy like Johnny, because me and Johnny Gargano were really close. I just talked to him today. So he's a great friend of mine. And we only wrestled one time prior to our first one in Brooklyn. And it was in 2010 for Evolve Wrestling for Gabe Sapolsky. So like, God, 8 years or whatever had gone by, or 9 years. And we had been saying like, it'd be really cool to be able to wrestle in a feature match on NXT. So we had the first one, and fortunately people really enjoyed it. There were a lot of eyes on it because of it being WrestleMania weekend and stuff. But yeah, going into the second one, incredibly stressful, going like, how in the world are we going to top this one? But again, the nice thing that happens is when you have matches like that, there are like certain little story arcs that you create without even realizing it. So actually putting it together wasn't as difficult as you would think. It also helps that, again, I'm in there with a guy like Johnny, who is just a genius when it comes to that stuff. So yeah, we just said, all right, let's do another one. We'll see how it goes.
they were great. And it's great to go back and rewatch them too. All right, let me get you out of here on this one. Looking at the AEW roster, there are a million possibilities for future opponents and future feuds. I have three off the top of my head. And I would just like to get your reaction if this were to come at some point. Adam Cole versus Malakai Black.
I love the idea of that. Okay. Because we really only had one serious high profile match within NXT, and it was an Extreme Rules match that a lot of people really enjoyed. So to get the chance to go toe to toe with him again within AEW would be pretty cool.
Adam Cole versus CM Punk.
That's my dream match. Yeah. I've said before, and I'll say it 1,000 times. If I had a personal, I'm not saying this is the definitive Mount Rushmore, but if I had a personal Mount Rushmore, as far as wrestlers who have influenced me, CM Punk is on that list. He made me focus on promos. He introduced me to independent wrestling. I never in a million years thought I'd get the chance to maybe step into the ring with him. Now the fact that that's a possibility, I'm going to be real sad if I don't ever wrestle CM Punk.
I think the fans would be too. And then last one, I know factions never break up in wrestling. They never break up. Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega.
I know a lot of people have been wondering if that's going to happen. But right now, I don't see it as a possibility, okay. But you never know. It's pro wrestling. Never say never.
All right, Adam Cole, AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, AEW Rampage on Friday, and of course, streaming all the time, twitch.tv/thechugs. Adam, this was awesome, man. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, there you go. Incredible interview. Holy smokes, that was great. Adam Cole, baby, always a pleasure. And hopefully we'll get him on the podcast again. No promises, but I would love to, considering he's my best friend, so it would make a lot of sense. Oh, by the way, this is back to present day, Keith. That was an old interview. This is back to present day, Keith. The Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl winners. That's how you know. It's present day. I promised you a pick of the pod, and I am a man that keeps my promises.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, a show that I mentioned a while ago that I went back and finally finished, Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing was a DC Universe show that came out at the same time as Titans and a few others. And it's in that kind of universe. So the Arrowverse a while ago did a whole Crisis on Infinite Earths thing a few years ago. And, you know, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, they had overlapped a bunch. And then they also got Titans, and there's even like a quick scene of Swamp Thing. So I guess technically it is in that universe. But I've always liked Swamp Thing. I think there should be more movies and TV shows with Swamp Thing. I had started this years ago, and I think it was streaming on the CW at the time. Liked it first couple episodes, but didn't follow through with it. So for whatever reason, right? It's on Tubi. Of course it's on Tubi. Tubi has everything. If you're looking for weird horror movies that you can't find anywhere else, it's on Tubi. And if you're looking for Swamp Thing, it's on Tubi. So it's 10 episodes. I would put it up there with most of that CW-verse stuff, like Good Titans. The first couple episodes, first couple seasons of Arrow are probably better. They were great, actually. But this is strong, and it sucks that it's not, at least to this point, getting a second season. I guess there was talks of maybe even spinoffs, some of the other characters. It's really good. Swamp Thing's good. There's Ian Ziering is in it. He plays Blue Devil, which is like a deep cut, but that one's really good. It's a fun show, so I highly recommend it. And you can watch it. It's on. It's free. It's on Tubi. Anybody, everybody, we all have Tubi. You got Tubi? Hey, you got Pluto TV? I bet you do. Give it a rip. 45, 55 minute episodes. Like I said, there's 10 of them. It's just the one season. And if you happen to have already seen Swamp Thing, I'm all ears. What did you guys think? Let me know at Dork Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, of course, YouTube, at gmail.com if you want to hit us up with a more long-form review of Swamp Thing. But let us know what you think. All right, next week, I think we have to do Madam Web. I'm guessing we do Madam Web and then something else. So we got another two episodes coming at you next Sunday night, including the review of what has a chance to be the worst comic book movie ever made. Or maybe it'll surprise us and be the best. Probably one of the two. All right, we'll talk to you.